I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please, and I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 2. Revelation, chapter 2. I will beg for your attention this evening. I'll ask that the young people, in a very, very special way, just sit very still. Don't talk, don't laugh, don't play. Pay close attention. I'm going to be very honest with you folks. The truth that I'm going to preach to you tonight is probably the truth in my life that has maybe made the biggest difference other than salvation. I hope that you will listen to what I say to you tonight. Revelation chapter number 2. Would you stand with me, please? Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, I want you to go to Revelation 2:11. Notice what it says. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now drop down to verse number 17. The Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now go to Revelation chapter 2, verse number 29. And it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now go to chapter 3, verse number 6. And the Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now look at verse number 13 of chapter 3. The Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now look at Revelation chapter 3, verse number 22. The Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Spirit of God, come in mighty power. Tonight, Holy Spirit, we exalt Thee. We lift Thee up. We try to get your people's attention on the power that you have available for them and in their lives. Father, please help us tonight to be better because of what we hear at church tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll look this way, when I got to reading this repetition would jump off the page at me. Revelation 2:7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Revelation 2:11, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Revelation 2:17, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Revelation 2:29, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Revelation 3:6, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Revelation 3:13, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Revelation 3:22, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Now, folks, if God says something in the Scripture one time, He means it, and you can go to the bank on it. But every once in a while, God might say the same thing in the same way twice. And that's remarkable. But I've got to tell you something. If God says something a second time in an identical way, I'm going to promise you, God is doubly emphasizing and in a powerful way. Hey, you're not going to go very many places in the Scripture where you're going to find that God repeats Himself three times saying something in an identical way. But to me, when I see God says it one time, and then a second time, and then a third time, and then a fourth time, and then a fifth time, and then a sixth time, and then a seventh time, when God says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches," when God says that seven times and He hits it, and He hits it again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, I'm going to promise you, God has something in mind for us. God really wants us to set up and pay attention. And again, I said it a moment ago, maybe other than my salvation, the truth that practically has helped my Christian life so much is this truth that I am going to share with you tonight. You know, throughout history, people have needed things or devices to aid their ability to hear. You look in the encyclopedia and you will see a picture of a thing called a hearing horn. It was a horn. It almost looked like a horn. Had one big bell on the end and then a little piece that would come down, and someone would stick the little piece in their ear, and then they would aim the big horn, the wider end, toward the person talking, and when someone would talk, that bell would pick up the sound and channel it into the ear. What was happening? They were trying to hear better. That would have been a bit of an archaic hearing aid, if you will. Then we have PA systems. Right now, you can hear me because there are speakers. And there's a PA system that magnifies it. It multiplies the volume of my voice. There's a man by the name of George Whitefield. George Whitefield was a powerful preacher. They called him the man with a golden voice. They said Whitefield could stand up and where there was a crowd of 20,000 people without a public address system and preach, and he could be heard. Now, I tell you what, that's a powerful voice. But he knew what he was doing. When you're outdoors, you're always to be above the crowd. You want the wind to your back. You say, why? It blows the sound into the crowd. It's best if you have barriers, like a line of trees on both sides and maybe a hillside in the back, so there's a natural little meeting area where the sound can bounce, and then you can be heard. But can you imagine somebody that had a voice that was powerful enough they could preach to 20,000 people and be heard? And that's because this thing of being heard, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. Hey, your radio has a volume control where you can turn it up or turn it down. I don't know how many of you have ever seen a pair or a hearing aid. People have hearing aids today. It's a little device, and it's got a battery, and they put it in the ear, and it magnifies the sound. Now, you have to understand something. A person who's not hearing well, their ears are the problem. The problem is not the sound. The problem is their ears are not picking up the sound. The problem is their ears. The problem is their hearing. I had a deaf ministry at my last church, and someday we'll launch a deaf ministry here. And the problem is, a deaf person, their ears are not working right. So they use sign language to be able to communicate with them. Now, a deaf person, they could walk into a preaching service and the preacher could preach loud and clear with his voice, but the deaf person couldn't hear a thing. The problem would not be that the preacher's voice was not working right. The problem would be that the listener's ears were not working right. You see, we've always, in history and to this day, we've always had things that amplify the hearing so we can hear what's important. And folks, there's nothing more important than the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Much emphasis has been placed upon preachers. And preachers, hey, for instance, did you know that preachers are supposed to preach with the power of God on their life? And that there's a lot of emphasis put on that, and I think rightfully so. I think the preacher ought to stand in the pulpit, and he should have spent time with God, and he should have asked God's power to be upon him. There have been many sermons preached through the years telling preachers and teachers and speakers that what they do, they ought to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. A good preacher is constantly begging God for God's power on him while he preaches. I pray through my prayer list every day. There are three things that are on my list that I emphasize and ask God to give me every day of my life. Every day of my life, I beg God to give me His wisdom in making decisions. Every day of my life, there's a second thing that I pray for. I beg God to give me His love so that when I am loving God's people, they believe that I love them and I'm loving them with the love of God. There's a third thing that I pray for every day of my life and off and on all through the day, and that is I beg God for the power of the Holy Ghost of God so that I do not do what I do in the flesh. I do not do what I do based on my personality. I do not do what I do based on my knowledge, but I do what I do with the power of God influencing what I do for the Lord. And a good preacher ought to do that. There are are books written about the preacher preaching in the power of God. There are sermons out there about preachers preaching in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You go to a Bible college. Any Bible college that's worth anything to anybody will teach their preachers and teachers that they ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. Churches expect pastors to have the power of God on their life. You know, I think the people that sit in the pew, they would like to know that their preacher walks with God. They would like to know that their preacher has the power of the Holy Spirit of God on his life. They want that. Matter of fact, they expect that, and that's okay. Hey, could I ask you something? Is it possible that the preacher could have God's power on his speaking, but somehow the listener's ears are not working properly? Notice, 7 verses that we read from the book of Revelation. We read those words, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." 7 times. He that hath an ear, look up this way, boys. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Please notice something, folks. Notice that God has put an emphasis on the hearer. The hearer. Oh, sure, the preacher ought to preach in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Sure, the preacher ought to preach having a holy unction that comes from that one of the Godhead called the Holy Ghost of God. But wait a minute. Here the Scripture says the hearer ought to be listening in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The hearer should be hearing in the Spirit as the preacher preaches in the Spirit. Hey, many a pew setter requires the man of God to do his half of the work, that is, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, but yet the pew setter sits in the pew in the flesh, the preacher's preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost of God, but the listener is listening in the flesh, and I gotta tell you something, that creates double duty for the preacher. In this day and age, the average person walks into church and they're in the flesh. They've not walked in the Spirit. They want the preacher to preach in the Spirit, and the preacher is expected to preach in the Spirit. But they come in, sit down, they're in the flesh, and you try to preach to them. I got to tell you something. If you don't do cartwheels, if you can't tell funny stories, if you can't make them laugh, if you can't make them cry, if you can't take the volume way down to a whisper and then suddenly bombastic and loud. Hey, if you can't run around and shout and scream and put on a puppet show, if you can't do that today, you just about can't keep people's attention. And I'll tell you why. People walk into church and they're in the flesh. They walk in here, sit down and say, "Come on, preacher, move me. Come on, preacher. Hey, come on, preacher. I challenge you to move me." And you would be shocked from this side of the desk what it's like to know that you've walked with God and begged God for the power of the Holy Ghost of God on your life. But you know the people listening are not that interested. They're not interested enough to make sure that they're going to listen in the power of the Spirit of God. The emphasis in this passage of Scripture was on the listener's ears. The listener's ears. The Holy Spirit is like a hearing aid for the listener. The hearing aid of the Holy Spirit increases the volume of God speaking to your heart. It purifies the clarity of the sound of God's voice. Folks, listen, I am to preach in the power of the Spirit. What I'm to say is to be, it is to be anointed with the Spirit of God. But wait a minute. I'm not just to preach with my voice in the Spirit of God. You are to listen in the same Spirit. In other words, when you come into church, you ought to put all the tomfoolery of the world behind you, and you ought to say, "Spirit of God, anoint my ears while you anoint my preacher's voice." And let me tell you something. You take people that are listening in the Spirit, you combine that with the preacher that's preaching in the Spirit, and you have an unstoppable combination. But anybody that's ever stood on this side of the desk knows exactly what it's like. You ever heard the term that they use called pulling hen's teeth? Boy, you can be prayed up. You can be walking with God and preaching the power of the Holy Ghost of God and look out, and there are people that are as dazed and uninterested as all get out. And they walk away and say, I'm kind of bored with the preacher. The problem is not the preacher. The problem is your ears. You walked in the flesh and you expected God to do something supernatural, and God probably provided you a supernatural sermon through the voice of the preacher, but your ears were so numb. You were spiritually deaf, walking in the flesh instead of listening in the spirit. Let me teach you something. There's a great truth that I think is missed about the day of Pentecost. If we read from Acts chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 and 6, the day of Pentecost, there was a great moving of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, get it, there were people present from every nation in the world. And they all spake different languages. And God, that day, miraculously gave the apostles the ability to speak in these foreign languages so the people could understand. He wanted them to hear the gospel in their language. And so it's made very clear to you, it wasn't some weird tongue of the Pentecostal or the charismatic movement. It wasn't them, you know, walking around in, you know, Yamaha, Suzuki, Kawasaki, Honda. They weren't making all those sort of noises. They were known languages that were spoken to spread the gospel. But here's part of the missed truth. Listen to this. Acts chapter 2, verse number 6, it says, every man heard them speak in his own language. Heard them speak in his own language. Don't miss the emphasis on the Holy Spirit's influence on listening. Then, in the very same chapter, two verses later, in verse 8, the people said, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Notice how hear we. Folks, that was spirit-controlled ears, while there was a spirit-controlled voice, and you put two and two together, and you get a miraculous four that is a powerful combination. Is it possible that the miracle of Pentecost was as much about Holy Spirit listening as it was about Holy Spirit preaching? I mean, they said, we hear in our own language. And they said, we hear in our own tongue. Listen to this. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. It says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Heard the word. Notice the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard. The word heard there means perceived. Meaning a listener should have Holy Spirit reception and Holy Spirit perception as the preacher is preaching. Let me ask you a question. Are you a spirit-filled listener? And I'm not mad at you. If you've never heard this truth before, it will revolutionize your life. Revolutionize your life. Some of you, you've heard it. You need to push the reset button. But here's the question. I wonder how many people walked in the back door of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church tonight, come in and sat down, and you had had a conversation with the Holy Spirit of God and said, Holy Spirit of God, I am turning my ears over to you tonight. Turn the volume up. Turn everything else down. Turn the Holy Spirit perception up. I'm surrendering my ears to you before I listen to the sermon. Now, let me guarantee you something. Every time I step into this sacred desk called a pulpit, I have begged God that my voice be in surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. I've asked God to give me His power. I beg God to give me His power. The one thing I probably pray about more than anything under the sun, I say, God, give me Your power. Give me Your power. Give me Your power. I don't want to be Jeff Owens. I want to be Jesus Christ's voice piece. I want God to work through me. Give me Your power. Now, you listen. You want the preacher to have his power while he preaches, but the preacher needs you to have his power on you while you listen. Hey, are you a Holy Spirit-filled listener? Girls, pay attention. That's part of the problem. Instead of being for what God is doing and in submission to the Spirit of God, we're playing. I'll guarantee you, those that interrupt the service do it in the flesh. That is not the Spirit of God leading them. They didn't come with the plan of being in submission to the Spirit. And again, I have to tell you, for those of you that are hearing this for the first time, what I'm telling you right now can revolutionize your life. I've had people say to me, Brother Owens, somewhere along the line, you really picked up some things from some people. You've learned some powerful truths and things. I'll just tell y'all, if you want to know the secret, I learned this truth about surrendering my ears to the Spirit of God a long time ago. When I sat in church, you could ask my wife and kids, I was oblivious to anything happening anywhere in the service. My eyes were locked on the man of God. I felt like there are times I've been in conferences with some of the most powerful preachers that ever walked the face of this earth. Before I went in, I prayed and I said, oh God, speak to my ears, speak to my heart, change me, brand the truth on my heart and on my mind. God, give me something supernatural. Not as I was preaching, but as I was listening. And I sat and I listened to some of the same sermons other people listened to. But boy, the Spirit of God began to unwrap that thing and develop it in my thinking. And there were times I felt like I must be all alone with that preacher. He's talking just to me. He's down deep in my heart and down deep in my mind. I walked away and I thought, wow, was that something? Wow. And I looked around. There were people sleeping and playing with their phone and everything else. And I looked around, looked at preachers that were playing and goofing off and went home and could not build a church. But you know something? I got something out of the preaching. I had decided I wanted my life to be transformed. I didn't come to church for the social aspect of it. I came to meet with God. And I've been doing it for years. I sat in classes with hundreds and hundreds of other students. They didn't get it. They heard the same teacher I heard. They heard the same lesson I heard. I heard it louder. I heard it more powerful. I heard it stamped on my heart for all eternity. You say, how? By the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I don't just preach in God's power. I listen. There's some of you, you've wasted so much of your life sitting out there like a bump on a log saying, come on, preacher, move me. You move you. Wow, what can happen? Wow, what God can do. Folks, we need to wake up our ears to their responsibility to being Spirit-filled. Isaiah 50, verse 4, it says, He wakeneth mine ears to hear. Hey, we need to wake up our ears to this responsibility. Your ears sleep with no Holy Spirit reception while the preacher's voice is wide awake to Holy Spirit power. Wake up to this truth. It could change your life. Does the preacher have to work overtime on his preaching to keep your attention? Does he have to do his job and yours? I believe this. The truth that I'm teaching you can do more to mature Christians at every level than any truth I know. A new convert that will learn to surrender their ears to the Spirit of God will grow faster than one that does not. And I don't care how old you are or how long you've been saved, you get more out of the preaching if you're not depending on your own ears and your own way of receiving. You need the hearing aid of the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, what would happen? What would happen if God's people would plead for God's power on their listening as much as the preacher pleads for God's power on his preaching? What would happen? What would happen if you listening in the Spirit became as big of an issue to you as preaching in the Spirit is to me? What would happen? Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it says, And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. And in those days I will pour out my Spirit. Somehow we get the idea that God will pour out His Spirit, but it's just on the preacher. This said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on the sons. You teenage boys, you young men. surrender your ears to the Spirit of God. You daughters, surrender your ears to the Spirit of God. You old men, let me tell you something. You say, I've been around a long time. I just hear some of the same things over and over again. That part of your problem is you're not surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God because God's not done training you. And I don't care how long you've been around. If you would surrender yourself to the Spirit of God while the preaching is going on, it'll take your learning up a whole level, a whole notch. Young men can have the Spirit of God. Servants can have the Spirit of God. Wonder if you were as concerned with your responsibility of being a Spirit-filled listener as a preacher is concerned about being a Spirit-filled preacher. Wonder, as a listener, you become consumed with Holy Spirit listening, like R.G. Lee was concerned about Spirit-filled preaching. Wonder if you as a listener became as consumed with listening in the Spirit as Tom Malone was consumed about preaching in the Spirit. Wonder if you as a listener became as consumed with listening in the Spirit as Jack Hiles was with preaching in the Spirit. Wonder if you as a listener became as consumed with listening in the Spirit as John R. Rice was about preaching in the Spirit. Wonder if you as a listener were as consumed about listening in the Spirit as Lester Roloff was about preaching in the Spirit. Wonder if you as a listener were as consumed about listening in the Spirit as Dr. Curtis Hudson was about preaching in the Spirit. Wonder if you and I were as concerned about listening in the power of God as Charles Haddon Spurgeon was about preaching in the Word of God. Hey, wonder if you were consumed like Dr. Carl Hatch and J. Frank Norris and Lee Robertson. Hey, wonder if you were as consumed with listening in the Spirit as Jesus was consumed of walking and preaching in the Spirit. Why don't you take your responsibility of listening right more seriously? Listen, folks, we could double the power of the church if we spoke in the Spirit and we listened in the Spirit. You need the hearing aid of the Holy Spirit. Let me practically apply this simple truth. You need to decide that you're going to be a Spirit-filled listener. For some of you, you need to decide from here on out, every time I sit under the preaching or teaching the Word of God, I will stop myself and I will say, Spirit of God, I surrender my ears to You. I want to listen and perceive with Your help. I want Your power on me while I listen. Not just tonight. Not just during this sermon. Now, some of you, you need to get this. I can't preach this sermon 150 times to you. You need to get it. You need to take it seriously. This is one of them. You better make a little note in the front of your Bible. And remember, you are to listen in the Spirit. Or are you even listening tonight? At all? I'll tell you something. If God doesn't have your attention so far tonight, you're walking probably a pretty dangerous path. The Spirit of God, He's doing a work in this place. There's no doubt in my mind. And if you're not interested, there's an issue in your life. I'd get it cleaned up. Listen, we need to submit ourselves to the Spirit so that we listen in the Spirit of God. For instance, before you go to Sunday school class, submit your ears to the Holy Spirit as a listener. There are some of you who say, oh, my Sunday school class is boring. You know what? The problem may not be your Sunday school teacher. It may be your ears. Hey, before you go to choir practice, submit your ears to the Holy Spirit. Before you come to Sunday morning church service, submit your ears to the Holy Spirit. Before you go to the Flyers Club, children, you tell the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you that you're submitting to the Spirit of God in your listening. Before you go to King's Kids, kids, you say to the Lord, say, Lord, while the preacher's teaching me tonight, I am going to give my ears to You. Before you go to the youth program, Youth Ablaze, surrender your ears to the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you something. We will not have any more behavior problems from people in the church during the church services if you are in submission to the Spirit of God while you're listening. But it is your flesh that causes the chaos. It is your flesh that causes you to minimize the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. Hey, before you come to Sunday night church, submit your ears to the Spirit of God. Before you come to the Sunday school teachers meeting on Wednesday night, submit your ears to the Spirit of God. And every Sunday school teacher here, you listen to me for a moment. The things that you're taught in that Sunday school meeting, they will help you to succeed. I've taught them to thousands of people, and I've watched thousands of Sunday school classes succeed. But there's a difference. There's some that listen in the flesh, while others listen in the Spirit. There are some that walk out full. There are others that walk out empty. And the difference is not what's being taught. The difference is what is being heard and perceived. Hey, before you come to church on Wednesday night, surrender your ears to the Spirit of God. Before you attend the bus workers meeting, surrender your ears to the Spirit of God. Before you go to that Christian school, chapel, or class, surrender your ears to the Spirit of God. Would you all like to succeed in life? Stop trying to do it on your own. Let the Spirit of God that lives in you empower you to a victory in this world that's unique and supernatural. Hey, before you come to a counseling session, surrender yourself to the Spirit of God. I'm amazed. I can look somebody right in the face. I can say to them, I'm 100% sure this is what you ought to do. They don't hear a thing that I say. They walk out and blow their life and mess it all up. And I'll tell you why. It wasn't the advice given. It's that it wasn't received in the Spirit of Almighty God. They were not listening. They were in the flesh. Hey, before you get counseling, listen and submit to the Spirit. Do everything you do in the Spirit of God. Hey, listen, while you're fellowshipping around the church, you might want your ears in tune with the Holy Spirit. While we sing those congregational songs at offering time, the preaching, the music practice, hey, picture the unstoppable power of a Spirit-filled preacher preaching Spirit-filled sermons to a Spirit-filled congregation who listens in the power of the Spirit. Most churches don't get Spirit-filled preaching, but if you take the two and put them together, you couldn't stop it. I believe that's what happened the day of Pentecost. I believe that's why there was a marvelous, let's face it, it is the revival of history. What happened? Somebody preached in the power of God, but somebody heard in the power of God. You put the two together and you get what's called dunamis, dynamite. Power. Blow up the devil in this world because of the power that's in the Holy Spirit of God. I'm finished. But let me give you one simple closing illustration. I went to preach at a conference years ago. I drove. My policy has been through the years. If a church is 5 hours away, I drive. Any more than that, I fly. But this church was about 5 hours away, and I'd driven. When I got there, pastor met me as I was getting out of my car. He handed me a 3x5 card. It had 6 sermon titles on it. And he said, and they were my sermon titles. He said, half jokingly and half serious, he said, Brother Owens, while you're here, preach anything you want, but please don't preach these 6 sermons of yours. I've already preached them to my people. And I joke with him. I said, well, believe me, brother, I've heard you preach. They wouldn't recognize them if I preached them. But we laughed, and I avoided those sermons. After church that night, a man from his church, he had been listening to one of my sermons preached by his pastor. And that man came over to me, and I was standing at my book table, and the man said, well, you know my pastor well. He said, I was listening to my pastor preach the other day, and my pastor preached a sermon on thus and so. And I thought, yeah, that's one of mine. I didn't say anything. And the man said, my pastor made a couple statements in the sermon. Do you think you could explain what he meant? And I said, let me try. He said, well, what about this? I said, I think he meant this. He said, that's right. He said, well, he said this. What do you think he meant? I said, I think he meant this. He said, yeah, it's almost like you were there. And I'm thinking, duh, you don't know. You don't know. You know what happened? That man submitted his ears and his understanding to me. And I amplified the truth that his preacher had preached. I made it clear. I explained it. And how could that be possible? His preacher had borrowed one of my sermons, and I was just the person that could explain it. I try very hard, so you know. I borrow all of my sermons. I get them from the God of the universe. I go to the Holy Ghost of God and I say, "Dear God, Spirit of God, give me a sermon." So I borrow it. Then I stand up and preach it. And if you would submit your ears to the original author while I preach, God will take that truth, and through the Spirit of God, He'll make it come alive in your life. He'll explain it. You'll be sitting there and you'll say, "Wow, I never understood that before. I never quite seen that before. Who is that?" That's the Spirit of God describing and explaining the sermon that I stole. And I steal it from a good source. You know something? Some of you get about half of what you ought to be getting. There are people in here, you ought to be growing far more than what you're growing in the Lord. And I know what the problem is. You pick up what you can as you listen in the flesh. I promise you, you get the Holy Spirit of God in on your listening, He'll take you to a new level. He magnifies His truth in your weak human mind. Have you ever heard someone with the power of God on their life when they're preaching and you're sitting there saying, "Wow, God's speaking to me. Got my attention." Hey, that becomes even more powerful when your ears are submitted to the Spirit of God. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You submit your ears. Let the preacher submit his voice. Unstoppable, supernatural, heaven-sent results. Could I recommend tonight that you submit your ears to the Spirit of God and let Him do something great in your life? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There are some of you that you're aware of this truth, but you've let it slip in your life. You might need a moment at the altar tonight. You might need to come and say, "Father, you know, I've forgotten. I don't submit my ears like I ought to." And yet there's some of you that you've never heard this truth before, and I understand that. And this truth is a remarkable truth. This is a life-changing truth. There's somebody here tonight, you would say, "I've never heard that before, but that makes total sense." I hope that you will take it personally, and I hope you will take it seriously. And I will guarantee you, your Christian life is going to begin to change when you submit your ears to the Spirit of God. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, in one way or another, God has spoken to my ears tonight"? Would you raise your hand? Hands everywhere. God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. There's some of you, you ought to use the altar. You ought to come down here. There's some of you, there's somebody you ought to come down here and apologize and say, "God, I've been listening in the flesh." There's some that would say, you need to say, "God, I've forgotten. I've forgotten this truth. I knew it, but I'm going to push the reset button of it this evening." I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at this altar? Do you need to come and say, "Spirit of God, I want to hear right. I want to hear your voice. I want you to speak to me. Speak to me in Sunday school. Speak to me in the bus meeting. Speak to me in King's Kids. Speak to me in morning church. Speak to me on Wednesday night. I am surrendering my ears to the Spirit of God." Let me tell you something, you young people that struggle listening to your mom and dad. If you would listen to mom and dad in the Spirit, we'd clear up most conflict between parents and children. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And again, I promise you, those of you that don't pay attention in church, those of you that you're just out of it, you come to church, you play, you talk, you goof off, your problem is you're in the flesh. God's not changing your life, and it's your fault. Because you are not absorbing the truth. Amazing thing. Two people can sit in the same church service. One can walk out revived, on fire, excited, encouraged. Somebody sitting right beside them, they walk out in the same numb, dumb stupor, heard the same sermon at the same church, the very same night. Two people walk away differently. One listened in the power of the Spirit of God, and the other ignored God's working in their life. One more time through the song. Thank you, Sarah. Look at me for just a second. Folks, As I look around this room, there are people all over this room. You have heard some preaching all around the country from some powerhouse preachers. Do you know why some of you didn't get more out of it? You were listening in the flesh. I wonder how much power and influence from God we have wasted by using our own perception while we were listening. Some of you, if you think about it, you have listened to some dynamic, powerful, historic giants of the faith. Why didn't your life get changed any more than what it did? I'll tell you why. Was it the preacher? Was it the truth? Was it the Bible? It was the receiver. The receiver had the receiving volume turned down. You want to know something, Brother Tyler? I want my receiver's volume turned all the way up. Here's what I try to do, Brother Uriah. I try to listen like I like to preach. I like to preach full blast. But I listen the same way. My kids got in so much trouble sitting by me in church, and I'll tell you why. I wasn't concerned about their behavior. I was concerned about the fact they were interrupting me, and I intended to get something from God. And so, you know, young people, it's really not all about you. It's all about the fact that we need the Holy Ghost of God to work in this church. And if we can't pay attention and we can't hear, then He's not going to get the job done for us.